Say goodbye to borders and say hello to 400 empty big box stores.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Borders bookstore chain is going out of business. The company filed for bankruptcy last year and was supposed to be auctioned off to another company today, but Borders couldn't attract any bidders. So it's closing its doors and liquidating its assets to pay creditors. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler takes a look at the repercussions.
You may think that the demise of Borders would be good for the industry leader, Barnes & Noble. In the long run, it probably is. But Morningstar analyst Peter Wahlstrom says,
it certainly could be short-term pain as you take out the second largest competitor who would be closing 400 stores.
He says consumers might temporarily abandon Amazon and Barnes & Noble as they chase fire sale discounts at Borders. What about the vacant 20,000-square-foot superstores left behind? Some expect Borders real estate could be more attractive than its books. Faith Hope Consolo follows commercial real estate for Prudential Douglas Elliman.
Many of Borders' locations are very well positioned.
She says several furniture and clothing stores are shopping for more space.
Urban Outfitters has been on a mass expansion all over the country.
Perhaps the new tenants could hire the old bookstore workers. About 11,000 Borders employees could lose their jobs. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Today, the House of Representatives will vote on the Republican cut, cap, and balance plan. It would raise the debt ceiling, make immediate spending cuts, and start the process of amending the Constitution to require a balanced federal budget. The plan is not expected to pass the Senate, though. Now, we are exactly 2 weeks away from the deadline to raise the debt ceiling and avoid default. But all through the debate, there's been something missing in the negotiations. Women. For more, we welcome the chair of the Congressional Caucus for Women's Issues, Democrat Susan Davis of California. Good morning.
Hi, Jeremy. Good to be with you.
Good to have you here. Well, there were no women in the Gang of Six. There were no women in the Biden talks. And if you look around the table of the president's debt talks, you've got just Nancy Pelosi, one woman. Is that a problem for you?
Leader Pelosi can be a very strong voice for women, and I think she continues to do that. But, you know, we're 17% of the Congress.
Is it an issue that you've brought up with the people who are running the debt talks?
It's difficult sometimes because women traditionally have not been in the Congress as long. And so in terms of leadership, that tends to be a problem. What's so important about having women at the table is that we really are the caregivers, both to the young and to the old. Women are the principal caregivers. They also live longer than men. So these issues of Social Security and Medicare are very, very central to them. Of course, the women can't always agree with one another either. But I think there is something in the way that we work together. I sometimes kid and say that women are used to having, you know, three toddlers and two cookies. And so they know how to solve problems.
But when it comes to the actual substance of these debt talks, it seems that both the men and the women in Congress are pretty much sticking to their party line. Do you think the substance would be different if you had more women at the table?
I think if there were many more women, it absolutely would be. Sometimes, because there are not as many women, certainly not token in this case, because the women in Congress are very strong, very competent and capable women. But I do think that numbers would matter, and that would make the real difference.
Congresswoman Susan Davis, Democrat of California, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in overseas trading this morning. Bank of America just reported an $8.8 billion loss for the last quarter. That's mostly due to a settlement the bank had to pay investors who say B of A misled them into buying bad mortgages. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 94 points to close at 12,385.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
McDonald's in China announced this week it is raising prices on just about every menu item for the fourth time in a year. That'll put more pressure on the Chinese consumer, who's already dealing with 6% inflation. As for the cost of pork in China, it's up 60% in the last year. The government is responding by releasing some supply of the other white meat onto the market from its strategic pork reserve. The BBC's Andrew Wood reports from Hong Kong.
The Chinese eat more pork than any other meat. Each of the 1.3 billion people in China consumes on average 100 pounds of pork a year. Patrick Chuvanek is an associate professor at Tsinghua University's School of Economics and Management in Beijing. He says pork is a politically sensitive issue because it affects rich and poor across the country.
People eat pork in almost every region of China as a basic component of their diet. The total population of pigs in China is 400 million. That's quite a lot of pigs.
A year ago, pork prices were falling, and many pigs were slaughtered to stabilize the price. As a result, farmers now can't keep up with demand. The government has 450 million pounds of frozen pork in reserve in massive warehouses. That's only a few days' worth of consumption, though, and not nearly enough to keep inflation under control. In Hong Kong, I'm the BBC's Andrew Wood for Marketplace.
And finally, to a ferry that crosses the Hudson River from New York City to Weehawken, New Jersey every day. Tickets cost just under $10, but one passenger has been riding for free for the last 3 years. Every morning, he boards and rides back and forth for 2 hours, and then he returns for another 2 hours during the evening rush. His name is Tony, and he's a pigeon. The crew says Tony thinks he's human, and he only misses the boat during blizzards. And they say he does a better job cleaning up the crumbs the passengers leave on the boat's floor than the employees do. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
More than 70 television shows are going to screen their stuff at Comic-Con in San Diego this coming weekend, the big comic convention. And it's not just sci-fi programs fighting for a piece of the pie.
There's something about the nerd fan that you don't get with other fans.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Trekkies and Gleeks unite next time on Marketplace. We'll have the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.